Wow. Great job, all you preteens. Thank you very much. Y'all seem like you enjoyed it up here. Seemed like you were having fun. That's wonderful. You know, it doesn't seem like it was too long ago that myself, that I was one of those parents standing on the side recording my two daughters up here singing in the choir. Except back then, I didn't have a phone. I had a video camera that I was using. But I'd like to thank all the parents as well, all you parents, for encouraging your kids, working with them, and helping them to be able to learn the words and to practice the songs. I know it is a bit of work. I remember that. And a second song, maybe one that I did with my kids a long time ago. I think it's been around a while. It sounded very familiar. God's Ten Commandments. So, great job again, preteens. Thank you very much. You know, the Bible teaches that the thousand-year reign of Christ, which is commonly called the millennium, will include dramatic changes to life on earth. You know, society at that time, worship of God, and even family life will be so different than what it is today. And different from what the last 6,000 years have seen as well. You know, the title of this split sermon is Family Life in the Millennium. Family Life in the Millennium. You know, the scriptures, while they don't provide a long, uninterrupted list of daily family routines in the millennium, they do offer a number of direct statements that describe a future where families will live securely, they'll work together, they'll work the land, enjoy numerous blessings, and participate in a society that is centered around Jesus Christ's rule on earth. Now just compare that wonderful future to the brokenness that we see in families today. Now, I'm not going to dwell too much on this, but just to paint the contrast, these statistics I'm about to quote come from various sources, studies conducted in the United States. About 39 to 45% of all marriages ultimately end in divorce. About 25 to 27% of U.S. children under age 18 live with a single parent. And that's one of the highest rates in the world among developed countries. Now, many families today struggle to be able to afford the basic needs like food, health care, you know, housing, even if parents are working full-time jobs. Longer work hours are leading to parental burnout, stress, less quality time with our children. Rates of depression, anxiety, and suicide among both parents and children are on the rise. Families too often face tension between generational values, particularly around politics, you know, gender roles, identity. And in many cases, extended families live far apart. You know, we don't live near each other as like we used to, which can lead to isolation and lack of intergenerational support. You know, we can go on and on with that, but needless to say, family life in this country and in this world overall is not what God intended. These are the results of a world with Satan as its head. The coming kingdom of God is not only God's answer to the world's brokenness, but it is his restoration of what families were meant to be. And so in this split sermon, we'll explore what the scriptures show family life will be like in the millennium. And I have several points here. Point number one is that there will be peace and security. Families will dwell safely. You know, in the millennium, you won't have people getting shot while riding on a train. You won't have someone coming into your church and shooting people and burning the building down. like we saw recently in Michigan. But instead, Scripture states that the millennium will be an age of abundant peace. You know, it won't be perfect. Won't be perfect like we heard yesterday. You know, there will still be pockets of varying resistance to God in different ways, but there are a number of millennial passages that show that instead of war and fear, families will dwell in tranquility, able to enjoy their homes and lands and churches in safety. You know, Micah 4 is one such millennial passage. You know, Micah is kind of buried there in the Minor Prophets. If you need help finding that, it's just before the book of Nahum. But here in Micah 4, we'll begin a familiar scripture, verse number 4. Micah 4, verse 4 says, "But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid." So no one will need to be afraid of anything. Let's turn to Isaiah 32. Isaiah chapter 32. You know, imagine families gathering on warm evenings, you know, children playing under fruit trees, parents working the land without worry, the sounds of joy filling the quiet streets. No more threats from violence, conflict, or injustice. You know, peace will fill every home, every neighborhood of God's people. As it says in Isaiah 32, verse 18, it says, "My people, God's people, my people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places." And so households of those who are obeying God will be peaceful, secure, quiet. Now, parents won't have to be worrying about things like school shootings. Now, do you think that it's because that there's going to be incredibly strong door locks at home or a stronger police presence in the schools? You know, those are today's society's so-called answers to these problems. But instead, let's look at Jeremiah chapter 23. Now, why do we lock our doors? Well, because of the possibility of someone breaking in and taking our possessions. And we do it often without even thinking about it, even here at the feast. You know, maybe door locks won't even be needed in the future because if something does happen, there will be swift judgment. You know, trust in God will be the key. In Jeremiah 23, verse 5, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper, and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. And in his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely." You know, safety will be a result of peace and justice and righteousness in the earth. Unfortunately, we do have to be so careful today about letting our children play outside our home. Now, I found some recent examples right here in Oregon of children being harmed while playing near or in the streets. You know, in the last few years, an 8-year-old boy was struck by a car in Madras. A toddler was struck by a car in Redmond while chasing a ball across the street. A 12-year-old boy was killed in a bicycle crash in Hillsboro. And in Tigard, a 7-year-old boy was kidnapped by his neighbor. And the list goes on and on. But let's turn to Zechariah chapter 8. And while you're turning to Zechariah 8, let's consider also the streets of Jerusalem today. Jerusalem ranked as the most dangerous city in Israel for child pedestrians, with 63 children injured last year in 2024. one of whom was killed, and 28 of those were seriously injured. And over the past decade, again in Jerusalem, 736 children have been injured while walking in Jerusalem, 22 of them fatally. Contrast that to what we read here in Zechariah 8, talking specifically about the streets of Jerusalem during the millennium. Zechariah 8, verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women will again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each one with his staff in his hand because of great age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in its streets. Now imagine our kids playing in the streets of what today is one of the most dangerous cities on earth. And so even families living in cities in the millennium will experience peace and safety, and will be able to do things that cannot and should not be done today. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 11. Yeah, I want to ask our kids, our preteens, you preteens out there, a question to the two or three kids who may be listening to me. If you are listening, preteens, I want you to dream. You know, dream about the kingdom, like you heard, like you sang to us in the song today. But I also want you to dream about what animal you would like to have as a pet in the kingdom. If you could have any animal you wanted as a pet, what would it be? You'll think about that. Dream about it. Talk with your parents about it. Let them know. For now, let's look at Isaiah 11 and verse number 6, which says here what will be possible during the millennium. Isaiah 11 verse 6, which says, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. And then verse number 8, notice this. The nursing child, you know, a little toddler, shall play by the cobra's hole. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Now, I don't recommend that for you kids right now. You don't want to do that. But what a wonderful time to look forward to for our kids and for all of us as families to look forward to. You know, imagine our kids learning new games like Hiss and Seek. You know, life will be completely different for families in the millennium, as there will be peace and security for God's people, those who are obeying God and looking to Him and trust in Him. And families will dwell safely. Point number two I have is that families will thrive with fruitfulness and blessing. Families will thrive with fruitfulness and blessing. You know, families these days, we all deal with a lot of financial fears, don't we? Now, two recent surveys show that 84% and 74% of families have financial worries. About 61% of families report living paycheck to paycheck. Top financial stressors include food costs, housing, and a lack of savings. And I'm sure many of us have had or have one or more of these. In another survey, a majority say that their financial situation has gotten worse, not better, of late. And they expect it to continue to get worse. Now, I won't turn there, but I'll just note Joel chapters 1 and 2, which talk about the consuming locust, and how these locusts, they come and they consume our resources. And it's just something that's going to get worse and worse the closer we get to Jesus Christ's return. You know, how many of us have seen food costs rising, especially in the last 5 years? That's right. How home ownership Homeownership is becoming increasingly difficult to attain, especially for our younger people, younger adults. You'll think now about how many of these financial concerns won't even be there in the millennium. Isaiah chapter 65. Will it be nice not to need insurance in the millennium? Home insurance, car insurance, health insurance, life insurance. You think about how much money we could save if we didn't have these payments. Everything will automatically come to us with full coverage from above. Our perfect insurance policy, right, in the millennium. Well, Isaiah chapter 65, here is a scripture that shows families will thrive with fruitfulness and blessing. We'll read here verses 21 through 23, Isaiah 65, verse 21. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as in the days of a tree, so shall they be the days of my people. And my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain. What a wonderful time it will be when we can see families working and laboring and knowing that their labor will not be in vain and that they can enjoy the fruit of their labor. This is helped by the condition of the earth itself being renewed in the millenniums. It says in scriptures that deserts will blossom as a rose, and the fields will produce abundantly. I'll just quote from Joel chapter 3, verse 18. Joel 3, verse 18, which says, "And it will come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drip with new wine, the hills shall flow with milk, and all the brooks of Judah shall be flooded with water." The land will be ripe. It will be made ripe for families to come in, to move in, and to work on. During this time, families will build, they'll plant, they'll work, and it'll be fulfilling. It'll be fulfilling. Work will no longer be a grind. That daily 9-to-5 grind, or 8-to-5, or 7-to-5, or 7-to-8, or whatever it is, being so difficult as it is now for us to get ahead. There will be no corrupt government to take away homes or crops, no economic systems that impoverish people for their profit. Turn forward again to Jeremiah chapter 31. Your life under Jesus Christ's reign will be a time where families will not be caught in cycles of hardship or grief. Your parents will bear their children in hope, not thinking about, how much money is this going to cost me to raise this child between now and age 18. Instead, parents will bear their children knowing that their sons and daughters will grow up safe and blessed. Family lines will expand. Generations will be raised to know the Lord in a world where his presence will be celebrated daily. Family economies will flourish because God will bless labor again. And the elderly and the children, they'll flourish and live together. And notice in Jeremiah 31, we see these things described as a part of the overall time of fruitfulness and blessings. Jeremiah 31, beginning in verse 13. Jeremiah 31, 13, "Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old together. For I will turn their mourning into joy, will comfort them and make them rejoice rather than sorrow. I will satiate the soul of the priests with abundance, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, says the Lord." So families will get to rejoice in the presence of multiple generations. The oldest can share memories, and the youngest can share memes. Maybe. But You know, grandparents, grandchildren, parents and children, together, learning and growing and interacting, learning from each other, and sharing, passing down stories of God's faithfulness and God's blessings. So again, families will thrive with fruitfulness and blessing. Point number three is that as of healing and restoration, families will experience physical and emotional wholeness. Families will experience physical and emotional wholeness. You know, mental health challenges are common today and affect people of all ages, backgrounds, and regions. And according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, about 21% of adults in the U.S. experienced mental illness in 2022. You know, 21%, that's a lot of people. For children and adolescents, estimates vary, but roughly 13 to 20% experience mental health disorders annually. Again, according to the CDC, approximately 72% of U.S. adults have at least one chronic health condition, such as heart disease, diabetes, arthritis, asthma. You know, the list goes on and on. About 51% of adults have two or more chronic conditions. About 27% of U.S. adults live with a disability, which can include mobility, cognitive, hearing, vision impairments. Well, let's read about a different time in Isaiah chapter 35. In contrast to these physical and emotional difficulties today, in the millennium, no more will sickness plague families or mental illness isolate loved ones. Isaiah 35, verse number 5. Isaiah 35, 5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. You know, the blind will have, they'll have fullness of sight again. And the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. And then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. You know, physical healing will be commonplace. The emotional toll of trauma and loss will be replaced by joy and restoration. It will be like having a balanced diet of laughter and love. Now, Isaiah 26, back a few pages, Isaiah chapter 26. Here in Isaiah 26, we have just one verse of a song here that verse 1 of Isaiah 26 says will be sung in the land of Judah. But I want to read here verse number 3, Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Our minds can and will be healed and have that perfect peace. That perfect peace that, again, is a result of humans looking to God and trusting in him, trusting in the God of, in God for the peace that surpasses all understanding. I'll just quote from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29, where Jesus Christ gives the ideal mental condition that people can have. Matthew 11, 28, where he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." You know, so think about it. You know, families that are broken by sin will find healing. No more cancer. No more chronic pain. No more psychological trauma from war and abuse. What a wonderful time of healing and restoration that lies ahead. Point number 4. There will be righteousness and justice as households live under Christ's law. Righteousness and justice as households live under Christ's law. That's because Jesus Christ will rule in righteousness and truth. And no longer will families suffer under corrupt rulers, unjust judges, or oppressive systems like we see in this world today and like we've seen throughout history. Instead, homes will be governed by justice. I'll just refer again to Jeremiah 23, verse 5, which we read earlier. And I want to read it again from the New International Version. Jeremiah 23, verse 5, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is right, what is just and right in the land." You know, imagine that. You know, what a far different society it would be if we had that today. Let's go back just a few pages here to Isaiah chapter 11. Here in Isaiah 11, we read this also talking about the branch, Jesus Christ. Isaiah 11, verse 4. "But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth." Your family disputes, when they do arise, they will be settled justly. Parents will guide children according to the word of Jesus Christ himself, and then backed up by the societal structure, you know, which will uphold what is good and true and beautiful. Now, can you imagine a world where judges never accept bribes and every case is judged rightly, you know, with no political motivation? You know, compare that to today, you know, with all the lawsuits swirling around this country. You notice that the lawsuit will be made and a lower court will give its ruling, and of course then it gets appealed to a higher court, and then the higher court will often overturn the lower court's ruling, and then it goes up to the Supreme Court, and then the Supreme Court, oftentimes with either a 5-4 vote or a 6-3 vote, you know, will make their decision on that issue. You know, that's our justice system today. You know, supposedly judging rightly. But Jesus Christ, however, will reign with perfect justice. And with Jesus Christ as ruler, I don't foresee any government shutdowns. Your families will live free of fear, oppression, and systemic injustice. The poor will be heard. The orphan will be protected. The widow will be honored. The family will no longer be vulnerable. It will be secure and upheld. Point number 5 is that families will worship together. Families will worship together. Let's turn to Isaiah 66, and we'll see a few scriptures describing how families will worship together in the millennium. And for us today, as we consider family life in the millennium, I hope we're doing the best we can today in our families to try to incorporate as many of these aspects into our families now. In God's kingdom, we're going to see families gather together in local worship. They'll also be pilgriming to Jerusalem, bringing offerings, and they'll learn together at the feet of Christ. Children will grow up hearing stories of faith directly from eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ's rule. Worship will fill the home, fill the city, fill the land. Study and prayer and music will be woven as a part of the daily rhythm of family life. Of course, again, we can and should be practicing these things as much as we can, as much as is possible in our family life today. But in Isaiah 66, verse 23, Isaiah 66:23, "It shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, All flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. And so regular worship of God, you know, people coming together on a regular basis to worship God, will be a central part of every household's life, this is showing. In Isaiah chapter 2. You know, you probably noticed we've been flipping around back and forth quite a bit in the book of Isaiah here, as he describes such a wonderful future time for families. In Isaiah 2, verse 2, "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. And many people shall come. They'll come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob.'" Why? So that we can learn, so that he will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. So families and nations will go together to worship, to learn. Again, not just individually, but collectively. Yeah, I won't turn there, as it's already been read, but we have the familiar scripture in Zechariah 14 talking about how the nations will gather together year after year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. And Zechariah 14, 17 specifically mentions that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. And so families that neglect worshiping God will face consequences. And so a number of children will then be able to grow up, you know, making that annual pilgrimage to places like Jerusalem to worship Jesus the King. You know, imagine explaining to your son and your daughter, you think it's fun to explain that you're getting ready to go to the feast and it's going to be so exciting. Imagine how exciting it's going to be to tell them we're going up to Jerusalem to watch and to listen to Jesus Christ. That will be truly exciting. And maybe when you're up there, you'll get to play in the streets, like we read as well. It'll be time for fun, I'm sure. We're going to come right back to Isaiah 2, but for now, let's turn to Psalm chapter 22. Worshiping God in the millennium will not be optional, but it will not be a chore either. Worship will be joyful, collective, and celebratory. Just like Mr. and Mrs. Richards here, my wife and I also direct a UCG preteen camp in Texas. We have our camp down there. And, just imagine how exciting, preteen camps. Our preteens and our teens enjoy the camps now, but just imagine how much more exciting camps are going to be one day in the kingdom for them to enjoy. Psalm 22, verse 27. "All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you." And so again, in the millennium, families will worship together. Families will worship together. All right. Before I get zapped by this rumored electrical charge, point number 6. My final point is that families will be taught the knowledge of God. Families will be taught the knowledge of God. Back to Isaiah 2, continuing where we left off in verse number 3. Isaiah 2, verse 3, "For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." So people will gather and worship in Jerusalem and then take what they have been taught and then bring it back to their lands, bring it back to their homes and families and nations and practice it and be doers. Like we heard in the first split sermon, they'll have their opportunity to grow up, to learn and to grow in God's way. And the result of that? Well, verse 9, Isaiah chapter 11, a few pages forward, Isaiah 11, verse 9, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Instead of being taught evolution and humanism and atheism and whatever else is taught in the schools today, instead, children will be taught the truth about God and about his ways. And unlike our age, where faith often has to be contended with in the face of skepticism, instead, the knowledge of the Lord will be everywhere, will be throughout the earth. It'll be there like in the air, you know, in the air that families breathe. In Isaiah chapter 30, schools, community gatherings, and even leisure times will revolve around the riches of God's truth. Isaiah chapter 30, verse number 20. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore. But your eyes shall see your teachers. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. So parents will no longer have to worry about our schools, their schools, kids' schools, teaching ungodly concepts. You know, instead, the spiritual foundation of young people everywhere will be embedded into every part of family life. And this education will happen all the time, everywhere. You know, imagine somebody walking along and maybe having that thought, you know, considering, you know, maybe thinking about doing something that they're not supposed to, that they shouldn't. Well, there will be that voice then behind them saying, this is the way, walk you in it. And it could be that voice may be you and me. Maybe you and me to be there, to be able to teach, to be able to help, to be able to guide. Wouldn't that be an honor? And so families, again, will be taught the knowledge of God. You know, there is so much more that we could add to this split sermon about what family life will be like in the millennium. I'd like to encourage you, talk it up amongst yourselves. Find other scriptures. You know, there's a number that haven't even touched on. But in conclusion, the millennium will be a world where Christ's righteousness fills society. And families will serve as building blocks of God's creation. Parents will raise children in hope and safety. Homes will echo with worship. Families will cultivate the land and labor in ways that bring glory to God. Restoration, not just of the earth, but of the family itself, will define the age to come. It will be life as God intended. And so may God strengthen our homes today as a preview of what family life will be like in the millennium.